Well, I called the congressman and he said, quote, I'd like to help you, son, but you're too young to vote. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
These certainly are not the summertime blues. It's 78 degrees, headed for 80 from Big Dog 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, KHUB in Fremont, Nebraska. 78 degrees at 2 o'clock. Time to join Governor Pete Ricketts for his monthly radio call-in show.
The Broadcasters Association is proud once again to present our monthly statewide call-in program featuring Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts. This is a live one-hour broadcast, and it's being heard on stations all across the state on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association radio network. Hello, I'm Rick Alloway. We're glad to have you along for this afternoon, and our numbers, which we will provide to you throughout the program, can be used to access our network and get your call in front of Governor Pete Ricketts. Our number is this afternoon, 402-489-1240, if you're calling from the Lincoln area or from anywhere for that matter, but 402-489-1240. Might encourage you to use those numbers this afternoon. Otherwise, our toll-free number would be 1-800-825-5865. That's 1-800-825-5865. We encourage, however, 402-489-1240, where there are lines standing open now. And if you get a ringtone, stay on the line, and Jill will answer the call in the order in which it came, and we'll get you on as quickly as we can to visit with Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts, who's alongside. Pleasant weather in Lincoln, but it sort of masks what's been and what's likely to still come. You've had an eventful last month.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole state has. In fact, we experienced the worst natural disaster we've ever had in our state's history as far as how many people were impacted, how far widespread it was. You know, starting March 12, 13, we had the prolonged cold winter, actually really in the panhandle throughout the entire winter, and above average snowfall. And then, of course, that blizzard that blew through, and then the flooding that accompanied that on the eastern half of the state. So what that has meant is that 81 of our 93 counties, so over 85% of our counties, declared an emergency. 104 cities have declared an emergency. We had thousands of people who were impacted by this. You know, who have lost their homes. We have got hundreds of homes that people will not be able to move back into. We had communities that were isolated. We've still got water systems down in parts of our state. And at one time of our 10,000 miles of state highways during that week, a third of them were closed. And while the Nebraska Department of Transportation has been working very feverishly to get those back open, we still have about 79 miles of roads that are still closed, though the crews have been working around the clock to get those back up and running. And then about 15 bridges are out. Seven of them, I think, will have to be replaced completely. So we're looking at some temporary solutions, for example, on the Highway 12 bridge up by Niobrara, to be able to at least get a lane of traffic going later this summer. I think that one's scheduled for getting up in August. But a lot of this infrastructure is going to take some time to replace. We've got 50 of our counties that are approved of for public assistance, and what that means is public infrastructure like roads and bridges, buildings, schools, things like that are eligible for getting reimbursed from FEMA on that. And then we've got 15 counties plus one of our tribal areas that's been approved of to get reimbursements on individual assistance, and nearly $12 million has been paid out of that individual assistance already. And then, of course, FEMA is here in town. We received a federal disaster declaration really in record time. We were able to get that draft letter to FEMA on Monday the 18th. I signed it on Tuesday the 19th, and we had our proclamation from the president on the 21st. And just to put that in perspective, last time we asked for this federal disaster declaration in 2011, it took us a month to get it. So this has really been, really record turnaround time on parts of FEMA and the White House. But really the story of this has been our local folks, whether you're talking about our firefighters, EMTs, fire chiefs, sheriffs, other law enforcement, volunteers, all sorts of people, local communities really have been going above and beyond the call of duty to keep their neighbors safe throughout this natural disaster. For example, you know, we had the deputy sheriff in Boyd County. His house was flooded out. When we drove by it, it was his father-in-law was cleaning it out. He was still on the job helping us look for our missing person up there. And the fire chief in Lynch, his house got flooded. He was still working. We've talked to a firefighter in Wood River. She hadn't gotten more than 4 hours of sleep a night, you know, working around the clock to keep people safe. So it really is, we've just had so many people step up. And then the people who've been impacting themselves, the victims, have had just a great attitude when we've talked to folks. Oftentimes when you go to a shelter, when we visit some of the Red Cross shelters, people that were the volunteers were also people whose homes have been flooded. And they said, well, I can't go home, so I might as well help somebody else. So, and so many times I just hear from people, well, you know, this is what happens. You know, disasters happen, and we're just going to recover from it. And really, it's those people. It's our first responders, our law enforcement, just the people here in Nebraska that have responded so well with such resilience that gives meaning to those words, Nebraska strong, and why I know that we're going to recover from this and build bigger, better, stronger than before. So I know there's probably a lot of people with questions out there with regard to the flooding, and certainly we can go into more details about some of those in the future. For example, the Nebraska Department of Agriculture has a hotline for people looking to donate hay, fencing, or equipment, or to request that, and that number is 800-831-0550. So that's a great resource there. And then also, you know, we're tough here in Nebraska, but that doesn't mean you have to go it alone. So if you are looking to get some additional help throughout this crisis, there's a rural response hotline, and that is 800-464-0258. So there's a couple of resources right there. There's other resources out there. For example, our folks in agriculture, there's a number of USDA programs. I urge you to contact your local FSA office for those, for things like our livestock indemnification program, our emergency livestock assistance program, or the emergency conservation program. All those require 30-day notification, which will be coming up on next week. So please, if you've got damage to your farm or ranch, call your FSA office and start the process.
And we'll be repeating those numbers frequently throughout the show, I'm going to assume.
Great. We can do that. And, of course, there's we can answer a lot of other questions as well for that. And then again, on the road assistance part, if there's a map out there the Department of Transportation has put up, and you can just go to dot.nebraska.gov and click on the 2019 flood information, and then you can find if your state highway has been impacted, what the status of that is, and then if it's been contracted out, there's actually some pictures and some videos on there as well, so you can see that.
Perhaps one of the most important Governor's Call-In shows that we've had in the history of the show, and we'd like you to be part of it. If you have a question, you have a comment, you have a concern, the numbers to reach us this afternoon, and we're going to encourage that you use this first one, 402-489-1240. We'll get you into our conversation a little more quickly today at 402-489-1240. Otherwise, it is toll-free at 1-800-825-5865. Again, 1-800-825-5865 or 402-489-1240. If you get a ringing tone, please just hang on the line and Jill will get to your call as quickly as she can, like this one from James calling from Blue Springs. Good afternoon, James. Hope you're safe out there.
Oddly enough, I'm getting a double signal, Governor. Anyhow, I don't know if you can hear me or not. But
I can hear you, James. You don't have the radio on, do you?
And the other station's really louder than you are. Anyhow, I'll just ask my question. You met with the other two governors primarily affected by the tragic flooding disasters, namely the governors of Iowa and Missouri, and I'm just wondering, do you have any specific increment in mind to meet with them again and also the Corps of Engineers to address this horrific tragedy?
Yeah, James, thanks for calling about that. What James is referring to is last week I met with Governor Kim Reynolds of Iowa, as well as Mike Parson from Missouri. Governor Laura Kelly from Kansas was supposed to join us but couldn't land. So we met with the Army Corps of Engineers to talk about how we need to change things going forward on managing the Missouri River going forward. We've had two major floods here, 2011 and now this one, and we really need to change the way we're doing things because the floods on the Missouri just are not acceptable. And so we want to look at a variety of options. We've asked the Army Corps of Engineers to come back to us. For example, we know that there's a law out there that limits them from being able to rebuild a levee to more than what it was originally spec'd at, which doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, if you had a flood in 2011 and, you know, for example, around Hamburg, you had to put up a dike or a derrick that was higher than you know, what it was before, you had to build that levee up, why wouldn't you just rebuild it higher the next time you have to go back? So that's just an example of some of the things we need to take a look at. We need to take a look at how much storage capacity they've got along the river. What are some of their practices with regard to that? So there's a number of things that we're going to go through, James, to see what we can do to really mitigate this going forward. Now, in this particular case, we had a lot of water coming through our state. We had record crests on the Niobrara, the Elkhorn, the Platte, the Loop, the Missouri. I mean, really, the amounts of water we've never seen before in our state. But I think there's things where we need to take a look at how we're managing our levees to help mitigate some of these flood episodes so that we don't have the widespread damage we saw this time around. So, James, we're going to go ahead and let you go on that line because, because we're just getting a little bit of feedback on that. We're having a little technical difficulties here this afternoon in the studio.
Let's go to line one, where Kathy is waiting in Fremont to talk with the governor. Good afternoon, Kathy. Join us. Kathy, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello, Kathy. Yeah. Hi, Kathy. This is Governor Ricketts. How are you?
I have a lot of noise on the line.
Yeah, we seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties with a delay. You're getting a delayed broadcast there. Do you want to just go ahead and ask your question and we'll try and get to it?
Very, very loud.
I can hear you, Kathy.
Okay, we're getting some crosstalk from another talk show, yeah. I think. It's not us, but go ahead, Kathy, ask your question.
I cannot even hear you. All I can hear is this noise.
Okay.
Yeah, that's somebody else's radio show. That's not us.
I just about heard you now. My concern is Highway 30 between Arlington and Fremont. Contract was, what, 2 weeks ago? They're going to have Highway 91, a state highway, done before they even start on Highway 30.
All right, Kathy. So, again, one of the things that on that, go to dot.nebraska.gov. Again, has got the information on those highways, and specifically with regard to, did you catch that, Rick?
Highway 30. 30.
Highway 30, yep. Between what, though?
Oh, I did not. I was Arlington. There we go.
All right. So we'll see if we can't get you a more specific answer with regard to that, Kathy, and announce that over the show a little bit later this afternoon.
I know that, among other things, Governor, one of the concerns that was expressed a lot during the when the flooding itself was at its highest was how quickly the floods and the water levels can rise and overtake people. And I know there were all kinds of warnings about, you know, don't be foolhardy, don't try to walk in water that's over 6 inches deep, don't try to drive through standing water. But I think for those of us in this part of the country who perhaps are not as used to flooding and how quickly floodwaters can rise and how swift they are and how quickly they can overtake you or your vehicle, that caught some people off guard. It is a tremendously powerful force.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, I will reiterate what you just said, Rick, for future floods, that, you know, floodwaters can be very dangerous. Some of our fatalities were people driving into floodwaters, maybe inadvertently, because they couldn't tell how deep the water was and it was dark. So, you know, but it doesn't take a lot of water to sweep a car off the road and or a lot of water to sweep you off your feet. Right. If you get washed away, especially in cold water like this. So that is certainly one of the concerns we want people to be aware of, is that if you see water on the road, do not cross that. It's definitely one of those things that can be incredibly dangerous. And again, with the cold, we had some firefighters who got capsized in a boat and had hypothermia by the time we could pull them out.
The rescuers themselves had to be rescued.
Yeah, because the water was very cold. Yeah. So again, it can be very dangerous around these waters, so we do not want people to go around it. One of the fatalities over in Iowa was somebody going around a barricade and getting caught in the waters there. So again, when there's evacuations, and it can happen very fast. In fact, I do want to credit the cities of Fremont and Bellevue. Both took some quick action to be able to protect people. Mayor Getchman gave me a briefing of what they did in Fremont to be able to keep most of the town dry. And then when we're looking at Bellevue and Sarpy County, just broadly speaking about how that water came up and the evacuation they made there, they made the right call to be able to get people out of harm's way. If they had waited on Friday afternoon, people would have been evacuating down one road at night. They did it during the afternoon so people could see and have more time to be able to get out. So our, you know, again, this gets back to our local officials just did such a wonderful job of keeping people safe.
Indeed.
through this flooding episode.
And might I also stress that it is really important, if you ever had any doubt about it, to follow the what the local officials are telling you to do. If they're telling you to evacuate, if they're telling you to stay off a certain route, it's because they have knowledge that that's not a good place to be right now. It's not an opinion. It's really asking you to go along with what the people who know what they're talking about are asking you to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you look at North Bend and how quickly the floodwaters came up there. I mean, again, so many folks made just such good decisions about evacuation calls that really is what kept this the loss of life, you know, to as few people as we actually did see.
402-489-1240, the number to reach us in the Lincoln area. We would recommend using that number this afternoon. 402-489-1240 or toll-free, and that number would be 1-800-825-5865. 1-800-825-5865 on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Radio Network, our monthly call-in show with Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts alongside. Let's go back to the phones where Donette is waiting in Tecumseh. Hello, Donette. Can you hear us? Yeah, still getting a little bit of crosstalk. Donette, can you hear us? Hello, Donette.
I'm afraid it's getting worse, not better.
Yep, sounds like maybe it is.
Donette, can you hear us at all? If you can, just ask your question and we'll get back to you. And we'll answer it on the air.
I think maybe she's gone as well. Let's try going to John, who is in Gibbon. Gibbon, are you on the line this afternoon? John, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Go for it.
Oh, hey, we got a good line. All right. There's one that's working.
One question for you, Governor, and how the state views. I'm a farmer, and I was wondering how they view growing hemp as an industrial product in Nebraska.
Sure. Thanks for that question, John. So, you may be aware that through the Farm Bill, the USDA has made it legal to grow hemp. So prior to this point, it has been illegal to do that, though we used to grow hemp back here in the 1940s here in Nebraska. And so right now we're working with Senator Justin Wayne on a bill to decriminalize hemp in our statute. So again, it's been made legal at the federal level with what USDA has done. And now we're working on a bill here in our state to be able to do that. We also are we have certain requirements we have to follow to be able to comply with the USDA guidelines to be able to make hemp legal. So that requires, for example, a regulatory program, a testing program, an inspection program, and so forth. And our Department of Agriculture is working on that right now to put that in place. So we're still hammering out the details with regard to Senator Wayne's bill, so I don't have any specifics I can share with you on that, other than after we get that put in place, then we're looking at being able to allow folks to start growing hemp here in Nebraska as a commercial product.
Do you think that'd be about a year off?
Well, I know we're working with Senator Wayne to maybe allow. See, the part of the issue is USDA's rules aren't all 100% there right now. Anyway, we're trying to do something where maybe we can allow a few folks to do something this year as a pilot program, because we still do have that pilot program that's going on here in the state. But I don't want to promise anything because we're still working, hammering through the details of that bill. But if we, we're able to work all this out, at the latest it would be next year.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks for your call, sir. 402-489-1240 if you're calling in the Lincoln area. 402-489-1240 or toll free at 1-800-825-5865. You have an update?
Yeah, so Kathy was asking earlier about a portion of Highway 3 between Arlington and Fremont, which is closed right now. A contractor has been assigned to the project, and in fact they started work on it today, so timely question, Kathy, and it's scheduled to be open this spring, though I'm guessing that we don't have an exact date right now as they're just starting work.
Sounds good. Back to the phones we go, and Bob is with us from Ithaca this afternoon. Hi, Bob, jump in here. Hello, Bob.
Yes, Bob here in Ithaca, Nebraska. Oh, I just want to mention this to the governor. I got farm ground along Wahoo Creek here, below Wahoo, Nebraska, and FSA has a program called Emergency Conservation Program, And there's going to be cost sharing money available to that to pick up debris. And we've got refrigerators, stoves, and everything in the field. And to level off the ground. The problem we got here is our creek banks eroded away 5-6 feet. And when the creek comes back up half full to 3/4 full, the water will not be held in the creek, and it will continue to wash across the ground in the low spots again, carrying debris again. So we need out here some money for creek bank stabilization to build those dikes back up to where they were, because now we're going to have half the high water events going back across the farm ground. So we really need to make people aware that we need money for creek bank stabilization out here, and that's not covered on the emergency conservation program.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate the heads up on that. One of the things you might want to also reach out to then is the county folks as well. So the way this emergency is being managed is that we have emergency managers in every county, and that kind of feedback gets fed up through them to see what sort of other resources may be available. So what I would do is contact your emergency manager and let them know about exactly what's going on with regard to that. And then you know, we'll see what we can do when we get that to the Nebraska Emergency Management Center with regard to it. You can't be the only person who's in that boat, so we'll see what we can take a look at to do if there's other programs out there.
A lot of times when I feel there's people sitting in offices that don't even know quite what's needed out here, and I'd like to get those kind of people out here to take a look to show them what's going on. So I've told a lot of farmers here to take pictures and take them to the emergency, but I hope we get someone out here to actually take a look at it and see what we need to have done. So.
Yep, again, that, and a great, yeah, Bob, and you're exactly right. You want people to take pictures, and you want them to document all that stuff. And then the best thing for them to place, for them to start, is with that emergency manager in their county.
Thanks for the call, sir. 402-489-1240, if you're calling from the Lincoln area. 402-489-1240. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 1-800-825-5865. That's 1-800-825-5865. 20 minutes past the hour on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Radio Network with Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts alongside. And a reminder to stay tuned to this affiliate of the Nebraska Broadcasters Association, as we will be in looking at changeable weather patterns again coming up down the road here beginning in the next 48 hours or so. So we'll be keeping tabs on this. And is it possible? And you said this is the worst you can remember in your lifetime. It's the worst I can remember in my lifetime in this state as well, in this kind of a situation. So was it possible to how do you plan for something like this? Because you've got such a huge infrastructure to deal with among state, county, local governments. How could you have prepped for this?
Well, this is what the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency does, is prepare the plans. Now, generally, we're not looking at something that's this widespread where we have 81 counties that have declared a disaster. But this is the plans they put in place and how to respond to this. And frankly, I got to tell you again, it's that planning, especially at the local level, that has allowed us to keep so many people safe despite the very dangerous conditions with these floodwaters and the blizzard. And really, that's those plans kick in. And that's why, frankly, I got to tell you, our local folks just doing a wonderful job of keeping people safe, of responding, getting people evacuated, making those decisions. And of course, we at the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency are coordinating all those county efforts and working with the federal government to be able to get, now as we've moved out of that response phase into the recovery phase, start bringing those, tap into those federal dollars to start bringing in relief.
Not that they're doing this for gratitude, but we do owe a debt of gratitude to everybody at NEMA and all the folks who've helped out. It's been an astonishing response.
They really are doing a fantastic job. And I just, since you brought it up, Rick, I'm just going to highlight something. As I mentioned last time, it took us a month to get this disaster declaration. But the folks at NEMA really worked very hard over the weekend to be able to prepare that document. I had actually called the FEMA folks both in Kansas City, Paul Taylor, and their acting administrator in D.C., Pete Gaynor, told them we wanted an expedited request. Our team had a draft ready, worked with the FEMA folks in Kansas City on Monday, got it ready to my desk to sign, you know, on Tuesday, and the FEMA folks in Kansas City turned that around to D.C. that day. So it really was record time to get all this turned around, but it was a large part successful because of the great groundwork that the folks at our NEMA office had done.
Lots of individual stories of heroism to share as well as we go along here, but let's jump out to Donette. Donette has called back. We were not able to get her call on earlier. Let's give it another shot. Hi, Donette. Join us.
Hi.
Is that better, Donette?
That is so much better. Good afternoon, Governor. Just wanted to share some thoughts with you, and it's, of course, about the flooding. We were involved in the 2011 flood, and we're still trying to recoup from that, and then we get hit again. Not as hard, but we got hit again. So now it's starting all over again, cleanup and restoration of the ground and all of that that goes with it. But it's just frustrating because of the way the river has been run as far as trying to make flood control be number one, and it just has not taken priority. And we are so glad that the three governors have banded together, and sounds like you are on the right track. And now we just need to get all the state senators on board too to be our voice to Congress. So what are your steps and solutions as the governors to prevent future flooding?
So we asked the Corps, and thanks for that, because you're exactly right. One of the messages we delivered to the Corps in our meeting last week is they've got to prioritize people and communities first, that all the other considerations have to be secondary. And what we asked the Corps to do is come back in a couple of weeks with some options for us to pursue. I mentioned that law, I think it's PL 89 or 8499, that prevents them from building a levee higher than what it was originally. And so that's an example of how there may be things we have to go to D.C. to change some laws. There may be policies, for example, how much they hold in flood reserve as part of their reservoir system upstream. And so that may be another thing we have to take a look at. So we've asked the Corps to come back with some ideas. I'm going to be continuing to stay in touch with Governor Reynolds and Governor Parson and Governor Kelly with regard to how we can work together regionally to be able to change that. And of course, you've probably been reading the paper that a number of the federal election officials like Senator Grassley of Iowa are also very keen on finding what we can do to change things. Because as you point out here, it's just not acceptable. In this case, we did have a lot of water coming through. For example, in the plant, it was 10 times the normal water volume that usually flows through that. But regardless, we've got to have better solutions for our levee system and how we're going to manage it, especially given all the damage that we've received here. For example, in 2011, I think the Corps had 5 different projects to work on with regard to levee breaks. Now they've got 50. So this is, again, something we're going to be recovering from this for a while, and we've got to have a plan for how we're going to make sure this doesn't happen anymore. So appreciate your feedback on that, and we'll stay on top with the federal delegation on how we change what's going on with regard to managing the Missouri River.
We'll be following you, okay?
All right, great.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling back, Donette. 402-489-1240, the number to reach us this afternoon on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Radio Network. It's our monthly statewide call-in program featuring Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts. 402-489-1240, probably the best number to use this afternoon. Otherwise, you can try toll-free as well at 1-800-825-5865. That's 1-800-825-5865. Let's go to Brent, who's calling from Kearney this afternoon. Good afternoon, Brent. Join us.
Thank you. Governor, my concern is regarding the NPPDR project. And as you know, this is a massive transmission line project that's slated to tear through the very heart of the Nebraska Sandhills. I'm sure you also know that the Nebraska Sandhills are a very pristine, fragile, environmentally sensitive, and environmentally important area. There's been great opposition by residents of the 43rd Legislative District regarding this project, as well as people throughout the state. Senator Brewer has been a strong opponent of this project. The public has been very opposed to it. There are well-done scientific studies that show that this project may have a significant impact on whooping crane mortality, and the NPPD has chosen to ignore the public. They've said throughout the start of this project that part of the reason for doing this is for wind energy development, and most think that this is the major reason where it's cited as it is. my concern is that in spite of this intense opposition, you remained relatively silent on this project and haven't had much to say about it. It certainly appears that NPPD and the Southwest Power Pool have used undue political influence with the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife to get this project permitted, and I would at this point just like to hear your comments.
Sure. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for calling in on that. So a couple things. One, the project is actually not primarily about wind energy. It's about having a backup transmission line for power across our state. So while it certainly will benefit the wind power, it is about the Southwest Power Pool wanting us to have, and we want as well, that dual transmission going through there. Otherwise, we're relying just on the transmission lines that are going through the Platte Valley there, and as we've experienced in the past when we've had some weather events there, that can be very expensive when those transmission lines go down for us to be able to buy power from other places. So with regard to the routing of it, this is something that we've had a number of conversations with NPPD about with regard to how they site those things. So, for example, one of the things that's been requested is maybe going along the highways. As you know, that has its own issues with regard to impacting people's homes. We've asked them to be more sensitive with regard to the landowners there with regard to their land and how they're treating those landowners, because I think there's some things that NPPD would even acknowledge that they have not done a good job on with regard to that. I know Senator Brewer has had a bill in front of the legislature with regard to that, with regard to the R project, and I think that bill has gotten stalled. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and double check and see exactly what has happened with that bill. And then we're still looking into the whole issue with regard to the whooping cranes, as well as you point out that there may have been some environmental impacts that NPPD and Fish and Wildlife have not looked at. So I would say it's still kind of in process. This is still a project that, again, is about making sure that we have reliable power across our state and having those dual transmissions to be able to accomplish that. I do think we have, NPPD will acknowledge that they could have done a better job early on with regard to how they were talking with local folks with regard to this. And we're still talking with Senator Brewer about his project and what's going on there with the whooping cranes. And I got to tell you right off the top of my head, Brent, I know I've seen some information about it. I just off the top of my head can't pull it up right away. So what I would offer, though, is if you want to call into my office, that number is 402-471-2244, 402-471-2244. We can follow up with you directly on where it is with regard to the whooping crane information, because I know that is a new issue that has come up here in the last several months with regard to that. I just can't remember what the status of that is right offhand, and you know, what NPPD is doing about it, what Fish and Wildlife is doing about it. I know that Senator Brewer has asked Fish and Wildlife to step in with regard to this, but I just can't off the top of my head remember where that stands.
Thanks very much for your call, sir. Governor, we're halfway through the program already, as usual, a fast-moving hour of programming, but we want to tell our folks along the line, like Jim and Mike and Russ, to hang on the phones. We'll get to your calls momentarily, and if you'd like to make a call right now and join the conversation, this would be an excellent time to do it, as the Nebraska Broadcasters Association brings you our live statewide broadcast with Governor Pete Ricketts. We will pause now for stations along the line to identify themselves, then we'll take a 3-minute break, but stay tuned for more on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Network.
Keeping it real.
All the feelings are real.
The music is real life stories.
Real good country.
You are worth it at Deers Ford Lincoln. It's been their honor and privilege to work for you the past 80 years. This just announced from Ford Motor Company, disaster relief employee pricing. If you've experienced total loss due to the recent flooding, they can offer the special. It's thousands below already discounted pricing. If you or anyone you know has been affected, reach out to them at Deers Ford. They want to make this process as easy as possible for you and your family and friends. Deers Ford in Fremont, where you are worth it.
Now this is a pretty big deal. The Monday special all day long at the Fremont A&W is a $5 two-piece chicken strip combo that gets you two chicken strips, fries, and a drink. That's right, two 100% white meat chicken strips, hot fries, and a drink for only $5. Make sure to try your meal with our signature root beer in a frosty mug made fresh in the restaurant. Hurry in for this sweet deal. Just $5 for a limited time only at your local A&W. A&W All-American Food, located in the Sapp Brothers Travel Center, 4260 North Broad Street in Fremont.
To assist families impacted by the flooding, Nebraska Furniture Mart is ready to help Nebraska and Southwest Iowa residents with disaster recovery pricing on all furniture, flooring, appliances, and electronics. Mention this ad and show your driver's license for special discounts for affected residents. Plus, to help ease the financial strain, ask about special long-term financing. New accounts welcome with quick approvals. Legendary low prices and outstanding selection are why people depend on Nebraska Furniture Mart. With thousands of carpet, hardwood, laminate, tile, and area rug choices, find what you need to renew your home's floors. With more than 750 appliances on display, find the perfect refrigerator, range, washer, dryer, and more. Plus, a huge selection of furniture and electronics means you can replace your home furnishings at one convenient location. After suffering devastating losses from a natural disaster in the 70s, Nebraska Furniture Mart understands what it takes to rebuild and now wants to help families recover. As you rebuild, depend on Nebraska Furniture Mart for disaster recovery pricing.
Weather presented by Selectel Wireless, the smart choice for wireless with the nation's largest and most reliable 4G network. Unlimited plans starting at just $30 at Selectel Wireless.
Here's your Big Dog weather forecast for Fremont, Arlington, Elkhorn, and Village Point. With more sunshine taking us through the afternoon hours, highs reach the upper 70s to around 80 with a northwest wind around 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, will fall to about 46 for a low. And the outlook into your Tuesday calls for a mix of clouds and sun and a high at 70 with east winds 10 to 15. Skies turn cloudy Tuesday night, low of 47. That will see showers and a few storms Wednesday with a high of 57. And that's a look at your forecast from the Weatherology Weather Center. I'm Paul Trombley on the Big Dog 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. On the web at BigDogNow.com. Right now, 78.
Weather presented by Selectel Wireless, the smart choice for seniors with plans starting at just $15 a month on the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network.
The best.
And we are back for the second half of our program. If you're just joining us, this is our monthly statewide call-in program featuring Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts on stations on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association radio network, stretching from north to south, east to west across our 500-mile great state. Governor Ricketts along, as always, to respond to your questions. We've been talking a lot about flooding, and I know it's on a lot of people's minds this afternoon, also with the possibility there may be more precipitation later in the week. So
right.
Again, tenuous time to be out there. You already heard another caller say she's afraid we're going to go right through this again.
I mean, that is one of the issues. We are at the beginning of spring's flooding season, not the end of it.
Right.
And we know that we can experience flooding episodes, you know, through July, depending on how the weather holds up and what kind of snowpack they've got in the Rockies and that sort of thing.
Numbers to reach us this afternoon by phone, 402-489-1240, or toll-free at 1-800-825-5865. If you get a ringtone, hang in there. Jill will get to your call as quickly as she possibly can. Our thanks to those folks who stuck around through our break, like Jim, who is calling us from in the Scotia area this afternoon. Hello, Jim. Join us.
My problem is probably pretty small compared to a lot of these people, but we had some problem with our roads after the 13th of March, and then we didn't get any mail for a while, and then finally our mailman, he started showing up. He showed up for 3 days, and then all of a sudden he showed up and says, "Hey, I can't bring your mail anymore." He said, "You'll have to come over, either go down 14 miles to Scotia and get your mail, or else go over here to the neighbors 4 miles and get your mail." And I said, "Well, why is that?" Because he said, "Well, my boss in Ord said that I can't come over here this extra mileage, and the road is still, they still haven't fixed the road going on the Ricker mail route. But anyway, I don't think it's fair. Everybody else getting their mail, I don't think it's fair that I don't get any mail, and I have to go distance to get my mail."
Yeah, Jim, this is what I would suggest, because I don't want to get the particulars of your personal information out there, but why don't you call into my office? That number is 402-471-2244, 402-471-2244. And give the person your specifics as far as the information, and then we'll see what we can do from our standpoint with regard to the post office with regard to that. It may, without knowing the details, I don't want to speculate on this. I'd also encourage you maybe to reach out to your emergency manager in that county and talk to them as well, or maybe talk to, your county board or whatever, just with regard to what the situation is on their specific issue, you know, timetable on repairing some of those roads. But why don't you call into my office, and again, that's 402-471-2244, and leave your information with us specifically, and then we can take a look and follow up and see what's going on with that.
402-271.
Sorry, 402-471.
Yes.
2244.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for the call, sir. And Governor, I won't presume on this, but I'm guessing that all of your state agencies are trying to tell people to be as patient as they can be, since the magnitude of this disaster is greater than any of them have probably had to deal with before.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Especially when it comes to transportation, because you know, with 15 bridges out, this is just not going to be a quick fix. As
right.
You know, I think I mentioned earlier, even the temporary bridge over, say, replacing the Highway 12 bridge is going to take till August, I think, to get up and running.
Right, because they've got to be safe. You don't want to take the chance
right.
on it. So I think the thing that surprised me was the amount of underlying soil that washed away that caused a lot of those roads to buckle, because I was thinking ignorantly that it was just water across the top and didn't think about what was happening subterranean that washed that out. It's a stunner to see the pictures.
Yeah, a lot of roadbeds got washed away. A lot of railroad tracks got washed away that way. And then also bridges, the support for the bridges got washed away, which is why we've had so much trouble with them.
39 minutes past the hour. This is the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Radio Network. Your chance to go right to the top and talk with our Governor Pete Ricketts every month on this very same station by calling us at 402-489-1240, 402-489-1240, or toll free at 1-800-825-5865. Let's go to Mike, who's been waiting patiently in Boyd County. Good afternoon, Mike. Jump in.
Well, thank you very much for taking my phone call, Governor.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, and we're taking this whole thing about flooding 2011, which we took a hell of a hit down there up there on the Missouri River. And, of course, now the other thing in Boyd County, with the river bridges gone, no way to get the feed and stuff out of the bottoms and this kind of thing, unbelievably real. You just killed, not you, I'm sorry, we just killed the Boyd County thing with as far as food for these people up there. They don't have a source. So my biggest question is, number one, is that how fast and how quick can we get some help to get those bridges taken care of up there so we can get our products out of Boyd County? Do you have any idea about that? Because you know how the damage was. You were up there. You saw it. You know where it is.
Yeah. No, the devastation is pretty bad. Again, getting to the point we were just making with regard to bridges, they're going to take a while to fix. So, for example, I believe we're going to have a temporary solution on the Highway 12 bridge there in August, and that'll probably just be one lane, you know, with a pilot car going back and forth. And so I'm not even sure how much weight that will be able to bear. So trust me, the Department of Transportation is looking at a number of solutions. We know that this is an immediate issue. 281's in the same boat. We're working on another quick solution there as well, or as quick a solution as we can. But again, I want to set the expectation is that, again, we have to make sure that whatever we're putting up is going to be safe. And that's just not going to be a quick solution for a couple of these things. We are aware, for example, that we've got going to have issues there. Mike, I wish I could give you a better answer right now, but we're still doing the evaluation. I will tell you that we've been focused on some of the things like what can we do to help out with Boyd County's water supply, as obviously that's another pressing need to be able to even provide not only water for people, but for the livestock as well. And as you know, that's going to be an expensive project to bore that hole underneath the river to be able to restore that pipeline. So we've got a number of infrastructure issues in Boyd County, and the team is working to try and address those as quickly as possible.
Okay, number two question is, what are we going to do about this gambling in Nebraska? I see the Ponca tribe is now moving closer to Lincoln all the time as they put the new casino in over here by Omaha, you know. When are we going to let gambling in Nebraska so we can take care of some of these tax stuff?
Well, Mike, as you may know, that I actually oppose expanded gambling here in Nebraska, and that's because generally what you see is when you bring in gambling, it's a lose for just about everybody. You see increased embezzlement, increased child abuse, increased spouse abuse. Generally, for every dollar you collect in tax revenue, you spend three in social services. For example, we've had the casinos across the river in Iowa now for a while, and the mission there has seen a dramatic increase in the number of people who report they're homeless because of what happened with gambling. So it is not something that I don't think that we are, you know, generally that you benefit from a state from that. You mentioned the Ponca. They actually built their casino in Carter Lake. The state is a party to a lawsuit to get an injunction against that because we believe that they did not act in good faith when they originally said that was going to be a health center and then changed it to a casino. So I would say that one in particular is still up in the air until a court resolves that.
We still have one up in Niobrara, too, you know, that's still running full bore right now with a big golf course and everything up there.
Yep. My understanding is that one is not a Class 3 gambling, so that's why that is still legal. You know, the Class 3 gambling is obviously the more casino-type gambling that we don't allow in our state. My understanding is the Santee Sioux one there is not that Class 3 gambling.
Thank you for your call, sir. 402-489-1240, the number to reach us this afternoon. There's at least one line open right now at 402-489-1240. Otherwise, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-825-5865. 1-800-825-5865. Let's go to Broken Bow, where Jim is on the line. Good afternoon, Jim. Join the conversation.
Hello.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Just fine. I live on the river up here. It don't look like it used to, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, even the Niobrara has changed its channel.
Yeah, I'm on the South Loop. But anyway, my question is, you know, these guys have had such a terrible time getting things put back together with all the farms and ranches, you know, and the extra expense and planning just ahead of them. I was wondering if it'd be possible to put the real estate tax, which is due the 1st of May, off till the 1st of June so that people kind of get on their feet again a little bit without facing half of the real estate tax by the 1st of May. I mean, they could still come in and pay it, but it's just the idea they wouldn't have to pay the 14% interest until the 1st of June. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, actually, Jim, I like that idea. Let me make a suggestion to you, and we'll follow up on our end as well. Why don't you reach out to Matt Williams, who's your state senator there, and talk to him about it. I will point out that last week the legislature actually killed a bill that we actually was in process before these whole natural disasters that would have allowed you to change the value, you know, not pay the valuation on your home if you had been destroyed by a fire or a natural disaster. And despite all this flooding, the legislature killed that bill last week. But I like your idea as well because it's, again, just a common sense approach to how we do this. So, again, I'd suggest taking it up with Senator Williams. We'll take it up on our end as well and see if there isn't a way to be able to try and get that done. And, of course, that always would be something I suppose the county could probably just do unilaterally. But I like your idea there. I don't know what the implications would be, but again, I think we should look at some common sense exceptions for people who have been impacted by all this flood and blizzard damage so that we can try to be at least somewhat accommodating through this tough time.
Deal, but just so they wouldn't have to pay the interest until the 1st of June, I think it would really give them a break because they got seed planting and everything, you know, right here just ahead of all this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, talk to your senator about it, and we'll take it up on our end.
Thanks so much for your call, sir. 402-489-1240, the best line to use this afternoon to get a hold of us here on the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Radio Network, our monthly call-in radio program with Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts for about another 12 or 13 minutes or so, taking your calls. 402-489-1240 or toll-free at 1-800-825-5865. In Lincoln, here is Sharon for the governor. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Yes, good afternoon, Governor.
Hello, Sharon.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm almost ashamed to ask this question. So many people have such serious problems, and I just had a question. How can we find out if the roads are open to Indian Cave State Park?
All right. Well, again, there's a couple things. You can always go to 511, so you can either dial 511 on your phone with regard to the state highways. You can also go to, I think it's 511.nebraska.gov and do the website there. There's also a 511 application. Or you can go to that dot.nebraska.gov, and there's that one is more related specifically to the flooding, and check there. But I'm getting a note here that says, yes, they should be open. So I was going to say we can also try and get you a response here in the next, if we get a response in the next less than 15 minutes, we'll do it. But the thing I'm getting back is, yes, they're open.
Well, this would have been the first year in about 20 years that we would have missed the redbud trees, the hundreds of redbud trees in bloom down there. And we were just wanting to go so badly, but still we were afraid to just jump in a car and take off, not knowing what we was going to run into when we got down there.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be in good shape, but I would also, you know, check that website as well, 511, to just make sure. But I think, look, but what I'm the message I'm getting is we're in good shape.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call. Good shape is a good thing to hear right now.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of that.
Man, we take our successes in little doses as best we can right now. Let's go to line three, where Mark is in Norfolk for us this afternoon. Hello, Mark, jump in.
Hello, good afternoon. Hey, first of all, I'd like to thank you for essentially giving me a very nice raise here. I work for the DOT, and I fall into one of the categories that got their minimum wage bumped up considerably. I think that's a great step. Great step for getting people hired. My question, though, is what steps are being taken for retention? Because the way we sit now, a guy that's been here 10 years can make the same wage as a guy that literally walk through the door, and it's really just killing retention for long time workers. And we're up here in this corner of the state, we're really being decimated trying to keep people, not so much getting them hired, but just keeping them. So I'm just curious what.
All right, thanks, Mark. Well, hey, I will take this up with our director, Kyle Schneeweiss, and talk to him about it. What we've done, for example, in some of our areas, like an area like corrections, for example, is put in merit-based raises for longevity. Those actually kind of a bonus kind of thing. And so I'll pick it up with him with regard to taking a look at his organization with regards to where we may need to do that, because it is one of the things, for example, we did see in corrections, just what you described, where people had been there 10 years, were making, practically the same thing as people just got hired there. And we certainly think that, we agree with you that that doesn't necessarily contribute to keeping people on board and retention. So I'll pick it up with Kyle when I get a chance to hop off this radio show, and we'll start taking a look.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for the call, sir. Let's go to Wymore, where Don is on the line. Good afternoon, Don. Join us.
Yes. Good day, Governor.
Hey, Don.
You had a comment earlier or received a phone call about gambling.
Yes.
And I know there's many negatives to gambling, but I think there's ways that the negatives can be managed so that the state could capitalize on the positives of gambling. I mean, the state certainly needs the revenue. And with the technology we have today, and from what I've been told that some other states do, is that they issue a card, or take it, the state takes an application for a gambling card, and it's got a magnetic strip on it like a credit card does, and anybody that you say has violence or gambling addiction, or perhaps some people don't like welfare gambling their money away, or gambling amount could be limited, that if the gambling establishments had these card readers, that we could control the negatives of gambling. And I guess I wondered how you felt about that.
Well, I'm always willing to take a look at new data when it comes to these important issues that face our state. I guess I'd say I'd want to see what's going on in other states. I'm a little skeptical, though, because typically when you put these types of systems in place, people figure out how to get around them. And that is part of the problem, is that people who you wouldn't ordinarily expect to become addicted to gambling, and it does change your brain function. So it's not necessarily something you can predict ahead of time, and that's where you get all the social ills that go along with it. Again, when somebody gets addicted to that gambling, that leads to them doing things that you might not expect them to do otherwise. When we're talking about the violence or the embezzlement, or it can also lead to other sorts of problems for the person and for society. So I guess I'd be skeptical with regard to that. And frankly, when the expanded gambling people have come to our state, they've never proposed anything like that. So I'm I just don't know how effective those things were being. But if you've got more information, I'd certainly encourage you to, just go online, get the address for our office, and shoot that information in. We'll get to our policy research office and see what's going on in other states.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd mention that to you, because I'm skeptical as well, but we certainly need the revenue. That is very obvious. We need property tax relief. And sometimes we've got to look at things we wouldn't necessarily do otherwise when the situation presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks, Don. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call, Don. In Crete, here is Joe for the governor. Good afternoon, Joe. Join us.
Yes, I was going to call the governor on the basis of last month he told me to, if I had a complaint on the judicial system, to write the Commission on Judicial Qualifications.
Yeah, how'd it go?
And I just report back to you that they never replied.
Okay.
No response.
Okay, do me a favor, Joe. Will you call our office? That number is 402-471-2244. Again, 402-471-2244. And give your specifics to the person, again, that we talked on this radio show about your complaint. Give the specifics so we can then follow up with them to find out what the status of that is, because they should be able to at least get back to you and acknowledge that they've received your complaint and what kind of the time frame is for them to review that. So if you give us the specifics, we'll follow up with them and at least get them to find out what the status of it is.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for the call, sir. Let's go to Buffalo County, where Drew is waiting for us. Good afternoon, Drew. Join us.
Good afternoon. Hi, Governor. I'm calling because I know that your approval can go a long ways in speeding things up. So I ask you, what would your opposition be in approving legalizing hemp, since it's already USDA approved, and also medical marijuana? That would increase revenue tremendously. That's quite obvious through states that have already done so. I just don't know why we'd want to wait to be the last.
Well, Drew, thanks for the call. So first of all, there are two separate issues. So let's take the first one first on hemp. So as you indicated, USDA has made it legal now to be able to grow hemp with certain criteria, right? You have to put a regulatory framework or structure in place. It's got to include inspections and testing and that sort of thing. And we're working right now with our Department of Agriculture to do that. We also have to decriminalize it here in our state, and we're working with Senator Justin Wayne of Omaha to be able to get that bill hammered out so we can get that passed and start moving down that path to be able to do that. As I mentioned to one of the callers then earlier today, the latest that would probably, assuming this bill can get to the floor and get passed, at the latest that would mean somebody to be able to start this progress in 2020 next year. We are looking at maybe doing a pilot this year, but that still has to be hammered out in the bill, so I don't want to promise anything. But that's kind of where we are with regard to the hemp stuff, is that we are putting that regulatory framework in place to be able to legalize that and allow people to start growing it. With regard to the medical marijuana, we do have a process in place to be able to do that. That's called the FDA. The Food and Drug Administration determines what drugs are safe and what doses for what diseases or what ailments and in what sorts of doses to make sure that we're protecting the public safety. And that's really what marijuana, just like all other drugs, has to go through that process. And in fact, derivatives of that, of some of the active ingredients in marijuana, haven't gone through that. For example, Epidiolex, which is a drug that the state of Nebraska actually helped fund some of the research with, is a drug that is used for kids who are having epileptic seizures, for example. So that's really what marijuana needs to go through, is that same process. I know it's a long process, and it can be frustrating for the families who are looking for that, but it's part of really what we need to do to make sure that the drugs that we're putting out there and that we're allowing our doctors to prescribe are safe and effective, and we know what those side effects are.
Governor, we are out of time. We want to thank all of our callers along the line and thank you and your office and all the folks that have been first responders and following up on the flooding. It's been an extraordinary test of our resolve, but we've all done very well and have a lot to be proud of for everything we've done.
Yeah, absolutely. We just have so many great people out there that are working at the local level to keep people safe. I just want to say thank you to all of our fire chiefs and firefighters, EMTs, sheriffs, other law enforcement, our Department of Transportation workers. I proclaim today Lineman Day, Appreciation Day.
Indeed.
We just got so many people have been working hard to make sure we get back up and running here during this disaster.
We thank you for your time. As the Nebraska Broadcasters Association, always proud to bring you our statewide broadcast with Governor Pete Ricketts. Our thanks to KFOR that produces the program, to the Husker Sports Network for use of their satellite uplink, and to all of you for your joining along in the program. And a reminder to join us again next month for another live call-in program with Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts.
At Hurst Lawn Services, we do it all. Fertilizing, mowing.